I'm just wondering if the candidate, is the candidate involved in the audit committee?
Yes.
Just wondering if the candidate is comfortable with Reece's practice of having the founder of Pitcher Partners as chairman of our audit committee when we are audited by Pitcher Partners. Now, the biggest reform that came out of the HIH Royal Commission was that the HIH board was full of Arthur Andersen former partners, including the finance director, and they signed the audited account saying it was worth $1.5 billion when it was broke. And we are one of the last companies in this country, and we are a great, credible, strong company, yet we are just flagrantly ignoring that basic concept of having independent auditors from our audit committee. So can the candidate please address the question of whether he is comfortable personally sitting on an audit committee with Mr. Pitcher when Mr. Pitcher's old firm is our audit firm?
I have to say that in my professional dealings with many organizations, I have not come across a person of caliber as high as Mr. Pitcher. And I am actually privileged to be part of the audit committee, and I couldn't find any question mark we could against that makeup of the committee. So I'm not sure what is the concern.
Mr. Pitcher is as independent as anybody. He has been independent of Pitcher Partners for, I think it's nearly 8 or 9 years now. And I can assure you we are very fortunate to have him on our board and representing the things that he does. He has the highest ethics that we have, and we are all very comfortable going forward. If there is no further questions.
Chairman, I'd like to follow up, please. I was very disappointed with Ron's comments about box tickers and basically throwing out the whole argument about governance. I mean, he's a former accountant. Accountants and auditors tick boxes. It's all part of transparency and accountability.
We've had enough of those questions. Would you mind sitting down, please?
Chairman, I have one more follow-up question for the candidate on this resolution, as the corpse law does to give me the protection to ask another question.
You've been given two questions. We only have to answer two, and we've answered two. So,
Chairman, it's 14 minutes past three. We're 14 minutes into
a... to say that. You've had two questions.
I have another question on the candidate in question. Chairman, where did you source our new independent director from? Can you please reveal the relationships between the Wilson family and Reece, if there are any, in the sourcing of our newest director? Or did we use a headhunter and independently seek the best available talent out there to broaden the depth and give an element of independence to our incredibly inbred board?
Well, I'll let my son answer that.
I mean, I think if we just try and take the heat out of all the questions, if you look at the one thing everyone needs to understand, I think most people in the room do, is that it is a unique, there isn't a company like this on the stock market. So it's 77% is controlled by obviously the family. So we've got under 1,000 shareholders. So there's a lot of unique parts to the company. In terms of the corporate governance guidelines, they are guidelines, and I actually believe we don't meet all of them, but we are making we're meeting the ones that we think that we can do at this point for the size of the company and the size of the board. And I think even in the last year, we've made we've added another independent director, and Andrew is an independent director. He came across the business about 10 years ago through being a journalist, writing articles on TQM, and he consults a lot of other retailers, and it was a very casual relationship over a number of years, and that's how we got to know Andrew, and as Andrew, in my view, over that time, and currently what he's doing now has added a lot of value. So I think we're just going to keep all that in the context. There isn't one size that fits all. I can tell you what, when Ron said that the box ticks, and Ron's driven more of the corporate governance guidelines in the company than anyone. So in terms of, so we can get into this debate, and I know that's what you're trying to do, to get some probably interest, and probably, the, I don't know, there might be a journalist here or whatever, so, but I do think we are moving in the right direction, and you've got to take it one step at a time, and that, this company is unique, it's got a unique structure, there's not another one like it in this country, so I think that answers possibly that question.
Peter, there's some very sensible comments, and I agree with you in much of what you've just said. I'm glad you've added an extra director. I would just counsel to our executive chairman, who tried to shut down debate at a public company meeting 15 minutes in, and to the chairman of our audit committee, who completely dissed the notion of corporate governance, that more than 20% of this company is owned by the public shareholders. It's a public company. I've asked questions at 300 plus public AGMs over the years. I've never seen a chairman try and shut it down like that so abruptly and dismiss any discussion on governance. And I would simply say to you, Chairman, make us an offer and take us out, and then you can run it like a private company. But if you don't want to do that, if you want to leave 20% of this stock worth several hundred million dollars in the public company space, then this is a public company and you should run your one public engagement of the year like a public company, rather than how you've conducted today's meeting. I came here today wanting to heap praise on your performance and make a couple of points on governance, and have been very taken aback at the vitriol, the attitude you've shown to what are pretty standard comments about governance. Peter's made some good points. We all agree you're in a unique position. You are a great company with a great history. There's not enough companies like Rees out there which are genuine successes in Australia, but you should remember you are a public company, and if you want to continue to have the attitude that you have, make us an offer and take us out.
My concern about your questions is that you took it right out of context. I am a very strong believer in governance. What concerns me is that there is a general belief out there that if you can, I'll use the expression, tick the box, you've automatically got the sort of integrity, the sort of skill, the sort of experience, the sort of behaviours that you would hope that all public company boards should have. We don't have that. You saw what the Commissioner said on HIH. In his final report, he said the board could have all ticked the box on corporate governance. And that's where I'm coming from in answer to your question. That in this company, I can assure you, we have a very strong view about corporate governance, about ethics, about moralities, about making sure that we're acting in the best interests of all shareholders. And that's a regular comment that's made at our board meetings about making sure that we recognise that there is a small minority, but they are just as important as every other shareholder in the company. And that's the way in which the board meetings, the way in which decisions about the company are taken.